British and European negotiators continue last-ditch attempts to hammer out a trade deal before the transition period ends on December 31st. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Vishala Sripathma, in for Victoria Craig. Good morning. It's a final throw of the dice for a Brexit agreement as European leaders attempt to bring home a deal. The sticking points have been fishing and state aid, when a government helps businesses through cash grants or tax credits. Now, the European Union is concerned that as it stands, British businesses might have an unfair advantage. Georgina Wright, a senior researcher on Brexit at the Institute for Government, explained why.
When the UK was a member state of the EU, it had the same state aid rules as every other EU member state. Now, we know that on the 1st of January, the UK will be leaving the EU's market for good. And so the EU is saying, if you're going to continue accessing the market in pretty much the same way as you do now, we need to make sure that if your businesses are suddenly receiving large subsidies from the government, that actually they're still able to access and compete in the EU on an equal basis. They don't want EU businesses to be unfairly competing in their own market. And so the whole question is really, how can you ensure that British businesses continue to access the EU single market, but they do so on a level playing field with EU businesses?
And what is a level playing field? Because people tend to be a bit confused on that term. How is that able to happen?
From the EU's perspective, it means several things. It means that if you're a British business and you're going to export a good to the EU market, they want to make sure that this good, A, meets all sorts of EU health standards, but also manufacturing standards that they've produced to a very good standard that equals more or less the EU's standard productions. But it also means that if a British business is continuing to export to the EU and has suddenly received lots of help from the government, it hasn't received so much help that actually an EU business could simply not compete with the product at hand. And so it's a question of, how do you ensure fair competition, equal competition between both sides, A, on the level of standards, but also in the levels of help that either side are receiving. But what the EU is saying actually is this is also in the UK's interest, because if EU businesses also receive help from the EU and that British businesses, their counterparts, do not, it's really a way of kind of making sure that there's still a balance there and that actually either side can ensure that their businesses are competing on more or less an equal basis.
Georgina Wright, senior researcher on Brexit at the Institute for Government. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Let's have a look at the markets. As we've been hearing, the uncertainty around when a deal is going to be reached in Europe has left markets a little jittery. Asian indices mostly close lower. This is despite positive data out of China showing its trade surplus widened to a record level in November. Moscow has started rolling out its COVID-19 vaccine program, Sputnik V. The most vulnerable are being inoculated first, and thousands have registered to get the first two jabs. The developers say it's 95% effective and causes no major side effects, but it hasn't yet been approved by any international health authority. I spoke to the BBC's Sergei Goryashko in Moscow, who gave me a sense of how Russians are feeling about the vaccine.
Some of them probably are feeling proud. Russia became the first to launch this Sputnik V vaccine. But the others, of course, are concerned because there have been no much of testing and there were lots of reports that this vaccine has been put into the tests too fast. And lots of people just are afraid of vaccination in general. But there are not much people who are already going to these vaccination centers because for the first few hours of starting all this vaccination, there were reports that about 5,000 people registered to be vaccinated, not a very big number.
And do you think that people in Russia will be open to other vaccines? Because there are several that are being developed in the process of being approved. Do you think that will be welcome in Russia as well?
Well, there are, for now, three vaccines we've heard of in Russia. Sputnik V was the first. And for some people who are willing to take the risk, they will have a choice of which vaccine they would be better for them. But for now, we know that it's only hypothetically. But for now, we know that there are only 500,000 doses of Sputnik V vaccine all in all in Russia. We know that it's really very complicated with the manufacturing process. there are some production problems with the second dose of the Sputnik V vaccine.
BBC's Sergei Gorashko, thank you very much.
Thank you.
A beer and some chips might sound like the perfect pandemic pick-me-up. And as well as lifting our moods, scientists are looking into whether this tasty combination can help the environment. It's all got to do with the manufacturing process, as the BBC's Roger Harabin explains.
It is a sober fact that brewing beer and making crisps both contribute to climate change. Brewing because of the energy it uses and the CO2 released during the fermentation process. Crisps because of the energy used to cook them and the fertilisers used to help grow the potatoes. Walkers are adopting a new technology that addresses both problems at once. It takes the CO2 created in breweries, then mixes it with waste peelings that locks in the brewery carbon and creates a valuable fertiliser with no emissions. I'm the BBC's Roger Harabin for Marketplace.
And calling all gamers, a British newspaper launches Fantasy Fund Manager this week. Pick your favourite stock picker. In London, I'm Vishala Sripathma with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.